Negotiators at the climate summit in Copenhagen last month failed to agree on a new climate change treaty to replace the current Kyoto Protocol before it expires in 2012. But a non-binding political agreement among the world's largest polluters may yet move the process forward. Jonathan Lash is president of World Resources Institute, an environmental policy group based in Washington. He was in Copenhagen for the climate summit and says he's been astonished by reaction in the weeks after the meeting.
What happened there is perceived completely differently in Europe than it is here, and entirely differently in India than it is in Europe. So if you track the flow of blogs and columns that are coming across on this, the assessment ranges from catastrophe to success.
45,000 people attended the Copenhagen summit, including 100 heads of state and senior government officials. The Obama administration's deputy special envoy for climate, Jonathan Pershing, says the attendance was unprecedented and underscored the importance of climate change on a broad range of issues.
It speaks to trade. It speaks to energy policy. It speaks to diplomatic interests and diplomatic initiatives that countries are undertaking. It speaks to development and development agendas of the poorest and the wealthiest. That's a new framework that's reflected in Copenhagen.
To Jonathan Lash of World Resources Institute, who worked in Copenhagen as an observer and policy advisor, the summit was really two parallel meetings, one with treaty negotiators who failed to move the process forward, the other that launched a non-binding political agreement forged by President Obama and leaders from China, India, Brazil, and South Africa in the final hours of the conference.
This is a new world order. These were the leaders who were able finally to break through the disagreement, and they represent all of the major developing countries over whose emissions a lot of the tension had arisen.
The United States signed but never ratified the Kyoto Protocol. The Bush administration said the treaty was flawed because it would hurt the U.S. economy and did not require developing countries, including China and India, to reduce emissions. The Copenhagen Accord is a 12-paragraph document that sets a 2-degree Celsius limit on future warming. Its provisions address emissions cuts, verification, and deforestation. It would also commit $100 billion from wealthy countries and global institutions over the next 10 years to help poor countries adapt to climate change. Deputy Special Envoy Jonathan Pershing says robust developing countries won't get those funds.
We're not going to finance China. That's not what's going to happen. We're not really going to finance much in India, perhaps aside from some work to help them do some policy design. We're not going to finance anything in Korea. We're going to finance things only at the margins, maybe in Mexico and some of their forestry programs. But we want to know what they're doing, because what they're doing will affect our reaction.
While 30 heads of state signed the Copenhagen Accord, WRI's Jonathan Lash says the agreement leaves many uncertainties in its wake.
We don't even know if everybody will stick to it. We'll get very strong indications over the next 4 weeks. China has convened a meeting of the so-called basic countries, India, China, Brazil, and South Africa, President Obama's negotiating partners, to discuss this agreement, and what comes out of that a couple of weeks from now will be an important indicator.
More importantly, Lash says, by January 31st, countries who signed the accord are expected to submit their pledges for emissions reductions.
If those commitments flow in, it's a very strong indicator that this agreement's real, that the heads of state meant what they said, they're willing to continue on to implementation. If they don't, it will be a signal that it's beginning to disintegrate.
At the Copenhagen summit, President Obama promised a 17% reduction in U.S. emissions by 2020, assuming congressional approval of pending climate change legislation. The law under consideration would put a price on carbon by capping emissions and allowing polluters to trade carbon permits. Deputy Special Envoy Pershing says the Copenhagen Accord, while not a perfect deal, is helping to shape U.S. climate policy.
Part of the objective that we had was to create space for the Senate to feel that this was not inappropriate for the United States, because we were not isolating ourselves. We were not moving forward without others. We, in fact, took the world with us. We now can demonstrate also that this is in our collective interest, and we're going to play our role and our part.
But with Congress focused on the troubled U.S. economy and a partisan debate over health care, experts fear the climate change legislation has lost some of its momentum. Even so, Pershing expects Congress to pass a climate change bill before the end of 2010. Failure to address the issue, he says, is not a plausible scenario. Roseanne Skirball, VOA News, Washington.